Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Sports Radio 101.9 FM. Sports Radio 66. Sports Radio WFAN.
All righty, folks. We're back from the Hard Rock here at Yankee Stadium, leading you up to Game 2 of the Division Series with the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. And our next guest knows a thing or two about hitting big October Yankee home runs. 95 in the rain against the Mariners, the iconic homer off Wohlers in 96. Our pal Jimmy Leirich joins us. Jimmy, what's happening, brother?
Good to be here, JJ. How you doing?
Jimmy, doing great, man.
And listen, hey, here we go, guys.
That's right. October hero right here. And Costas said it best. When you came back to the Yankees in 99, you could be on an island for 11 months of the year, but if they rolled you out in October, you were going to find a way to deliver. So I ask you, as a guy who went through that, how were you able to thrive over and over again when the moment was, you know, the greatest?
Well, you know, my whole career was pretty much, if I didn't play good that day, I didn't play the next day, except for Andy Pettit. Yeah, that was the only day that I knew that I was going to play for sure and catch Andy. But it was just one of those things, you know, growing up as a kid, I always wanted the last shot. I always wanted to, you know, to be the guy that, you know, in the basketball. I wanted to be the last guy hitting up in the last inning of the game. For some reason, I was just born with that kind of calmness in those situations. And it went through all my minor league career. And, of course, the major leagues, it turned out pretty good, too.
You know, you think about that 96 World Series, Jim. There's a double play ball that should have been turned off the bat of Mariano Duncan. Belliard boots the ball, gives you an opportunity to hit. Wohler's throwing smoke, and he hangs the slider. Do you remember what was going through your head in that at bat as you come up with a couple of runners on base as far as what you were looking for?
You know, I'd really like to sit here and say, I studied him and I knew this and I knew what he was going to throw. I had no idea.
Nice.
Bottom line was, I just reacted. I was, you know, when I went up to bat, I took Darryl Strawberry's bat up there because the guy threw 100 miles an hour and I only had two bats for the next day, starting with Pettit. So I didn't want to use my own bat because I was afraid of breaking it. So I grabbed one of Darryl Strawberry's out of his box, brand new bat. Went up there with it, but the only thing that I knew about Mark Wohlers was he threw 100 miles an hour. And I looked at Zimmer. I said, Zim, give me something on this guy. He goes, he throws 100, Jimmy, get it ready. And that's all it was. So,
and it worked out pretty well for the Yankees. Yeah, he hung the slider, ends up going over the fence, and one of the more iconic home runs in Yankee history. And you think about that 96 team. You guys had this us against the world type of mentality because you went in that World Series. You guys were heavy underdogs. They had Maddox, they had Glavine, and they had John Smoltz coming off a Cy Young year. Do you see any parallels to this Yankee group? As, let's say down the line, the Yankees got to get through the Twins first. You got Verlander and Cole and Greinke staring in your face. Right. Same sort of challenge, right? Trying to beat those guys.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. You know, the one thing that I will say maybe the 96 team had is we did have a few more veteran pitchers that had been in big moments, like David Cone and, you know, Andy Pettit had been in some big situations. But no, I mean, Mariano Rivera was just starting. You know, we hit a lot of young guys. This team is very similar. They hit a lot more home runs than we did. We played a lot more small ball, move runners over. I remember Joe Torre telling a story about it when he was talking about it, that pretty much our team was hit a double to lead off the inning. Somebody moved him over. Somebody got him in. We weren't thinking about hitting 300 home runs like these guys have done this year. I mean, it's crazy. The way the game is played nowadays.
You know, you think about 95, and that home run you hit in 95 almost gets lost in a shuffle
the
here.
Anniversary
because,
was yesterday.
Well, you think about it, Jimmy. Those first two games, I never, ever, ever remember Yankee Stadium so loud when Donnie gets introduced, when Donnie hits the home run, hold on to the roof, that great Gary Thorne call. And then you guys play deep into the night. Griffey hits the home run. It's pouring rain. Pinella's pulling people off the field. And then you hit that home run to win it. And you think about 95 and what happened in Seattle. Was that like one of the more excruciating baseball moments you ever lived through, losing that game 5?
Yeah, you know what, though? The one thing I will say is we didn't really take it that bad as a team because they beat us. We didn't give it to them. They came back and they beat us. So it was a little easier to accept. But the worst thing I think that we all felt was Donnie retires in 96. We knew that was his last game, and we wanted him to come back to Yankee Stadium to play one more time. And after we won game 2 in those 15 innings, we thought, okay, we're coming back and give Donnie the proper send-off. And unfortunately, he never got that proper send-off.
The great Jimmy Laritz, he's with us here at the Hard Rock. We're leading you up to Game 2 with the Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. And, Jim, you know, you look at this Yankee lineup, and I know baseball's changed quite a bit since, you know, the last time you put on a uniform. But the ability to be able to get a big hit in a big spot. You know, the Yankees haven't had that the last 2 years. And I don't know about you, you watch DJ LeMahieu play. Isn't that a guy who's just like tailor-made to be wearing a Yankee pinstripes?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things I hope when he gets interviewed, because he's going to hit another big one. He doesn't say, well, you know, I just got lucky, because he's been doing it all year. And I think it's been such a joy to watch somebody who won a batting title, and you knew he was really good, but had an injury that almost derailed him, to be able to come back and do what he's done this year and be the heart and soul of this team, besides Brett Gardner, because you got to give Brett Gardner a lot of credit too. But DJ has been the difference to making this team consistent all year long.
You were the personal catcher for Andy Pettit in 1996.
Yep. And
95, of course. Do you believe that dynamic still works in baseball? Like, I remember the Mets had an issue with Syndergaard this year.
I was just going to say, no Syndergaard.
Where Syndergaard basically couldn't throw to Wilson Ramos. So, as a guy who went through that, how important do you think that is for the pitcher's psyche?
Well, you know what it is? When we did it with Buck Showalter, and then Torrey came over, he was like, listen, we'll keep doing it and see how it works. If something works, why not? You know, and as, you know, Girardi, he didn't mind having a day off once a week. You know, it was a good break for him. And I think if a pitcher really has that hard of a time with another catcher and somebody else can do better, then I think the manager should allow it. And I think, you know, possibly next year, I think Syndergaard will be back. With Mickey being gone, maybe they'll let that happen next year, and that'll become, he'll have his own personal catcher.
You play with some great big game pitchers. David Cohn was a great big game pitcher. The Yankees had El Duque in 1999 when you were on that team, and they won a World Series. Roger Clemens, you name it. Do you see similarities at all with Masahiro Tanaka in the sense that the moment becomes this grand stage? You know, man, you're playing in a playoff game. Yankee Stadium's buzzing, it's hopping, it's going crazy, and yet that guy's at his very best. Something to be said for that.
Well, you know what it is? I think guys like that, he thrives on the enthusiasm of the crowd and the pressure of the moment, and he's able to calm down. Like I said, you just asked me, how did I do it? Some guys have the ability in those big situations to really kind of relax and, you know, think about the moment. And I think that's how Tanaka is. He goes out there. He knows he's got to be on. He knows he's got to be perfect with every pitch. And it helps him concentrate better, and he becomes a better pitcher.
You know, aside from Stanton swinging 3-0, I thought his at-bat quality was really, really good. He laid off the slider that has always been his bugaboo. But what would be your biggest piece of advice to a guy that talented as he goes through the postseason run? Like, if you, Jim Leritz, could tell Giancarlo Stanton one thing at the plate, what would that be?
I'd say the same thing I said to A-Rod before. Just relax.
Don't try it, right?
Don't swing it hard in case you hit it, but don't think about it. You know, and that's the thing you got to do. And it's the hardest thing to do. I will say that. It is the hardest thing to do. I've seen guys struggle with it. But I think with him, last night, even though he got 3 walks, that might help him going forward, because he really is starting to see the ball and locking himself in to where he can let the ball go, let the bat go now when he wants to. When he first took that first 3-0 swing, all I could think about was the next 2 or 3 at-bats. Let's see what happens. And when he came back like he did, to me, even though he didn't put the ball in player swing, to me, that's a positive. And I think if he can get off to a good start tonight, get a base hit his first time up, that relieves everything, and you're going to see this guy possibly take off.
We've seen over the last basically 2 decades, the Yankees have owned the Minnesota Twins. I'm curious, your years playing with the Yankees, playing elsewhere, all your life, was there ever a team where you just felt like we own them? Or the opposite, where it's like you're in that clubhouse and it's like, they just own us. There's nothing you can do. Is like there one that comes to mind?
Well, I'll get shot when I go back through Atlanta again. But I'll say the Braves, because on the Braves in 96, I was on the Padres when we beat the Braves in 98.
That's right.
Yep. And then when I came back in 99, we beat them again. So to me, the Braves were one of those teams that we dominated. But Texas was the biggest one. With the guys that they had, we beat them 2 or 3 years in a row during that run. That was the one team that people kept shaking their head. How do you keep beating that team? And really shutting them down offensively, as good as they were. So.
Well, they had, Juan Gonzalez, Rafael Palmeiro, yeah. Pudge Rodriguez, you name it. Yeah. And it's funny, you beat the Braves 3 times in the postseason. And, you know, 99, you hit the home run in the clincher in Game 4. Did you guys, because of what happened in 96, like mentioning the idea of you own them individually, but as a team, like you see the Braves in 99, it's like, we beat these guys in 96. We got this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that edge was over. You know, as dominant as they were winning every division that they won, we didn't fear it. But – you know, you still had Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz, and you knew at any given day one of those guys was going to be on. And, you know, we saw that the first two games in 96. You know, Smoltz beat us, and then Maddox beat us. It didn't look too good, but then we end up turning around. And that's what I say to all these fans right now. Houston is the best team.
I agree with that.
But guess what?
They can be beat.
We beat three Cy Young guys. We can beat their three Cy Young guys. So this team, I think, has a chance, and I think, you know, this could be the year we get number 28.
98, was it weird for you?
28, everybody?
28, yeah, we 28? Like that. I know the crowd likes that, that's for sure. We got Jim Leritz with us here on set. 98, was that weird for you, playing against the Yankees in the World Series? That must have been weird.
Yeah, you know what? When we got here, Steve Lyons was working for Fox, and he called me up and said, listen, are you going to stay in the city? Are you going to take the subway like you did every day? Because I want to do a little piece on it. And it was kind of weird because we were doing this thing, and when I came down the stairway in the old stadium, I actually went to the right out of habit. Wasn't even thinking because we were doing this shoot. It was strange going to the left to the visiting locker room in Yankee Stadium. Wasn't so strange playing him in San Diego, but coming back to that stadium and making that left turn instead of that right turn, it was real, real hard to do.
Totally get that. Jimmy, before we get you out of here, Yankees going to win a world championship this year. What, in your opinion, is like the biggest X factor for them? Is it the bullpen dominating? Is it one particular guy in the lineup? Yankees win a championship in Jim Leritz's mind. Who needs to step up in a big way?
Well, I think we saw last night, the bullpen. The bullpen has got to do it because they're going to be relied on with Severino going and these guys. They're going to need to step up. And, of course, you know, one of these guys on the bench, Luke Voit, somebody, could come up in a big situation and have that big hit and turn something around. So we'll see what happens, but I think they got a great chance of doing it this year.
Jimmy, it's great to see you, bud.
No, thanks for
having
me.
Good to have you back here at the stadium.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.